Good morning, church.
Morning.
It's good to be together. Thank you for that better good morning than you gave Parker. I appreciate it. So that's good. I appreciate that very much. Well, as Parker said, we are continuing in our series that we started last week, going through the book of John. And as we're going through the book of John, I want us to keep coming back to this idea that is so beautiful and maybe even unique in the Gospels as we see in the book of John. And that is, we're going to focus on seeing more and more of Jesus. We're going to see, even of last week as we continue this week, how God is revealing Jesus to us. And so these next couple weeks, we're focusing on just how the Son has been revealed. And as we look at it, I want to challenge us with something at the same time. It is to realize as we get to know Jesus more and more, don't settle for, I already know this. Don't settle for, I've got that part figured out, or I've read that part, or I've studied that already. But to say, God, I want you, please, to let me see more and more of Jesus. Because as we see more and more of Jesus, we love Jesus more. As we love Jesus more, our hearts are turned toward him, and our lives begin to reflect the transformation that only can happen because of the work of Jesus in our lives. And that's why we want to go through the book of John. That's what we want to see God do. Last week, we began with the first 18 verses, and we saw how God, in this beautiful, poetic section of John, how God begins to reveal Jesus to us. And this week, we want to see how God wants to use us to reveal Jesus to others. And so as we begin this morning, I want to be willing to ask this question, knowing that God has been revealing Jesus to us, knowing how beautiful that is, to be willing to, as we look at what he's calling us to in these sections, to ask that question, are you willing to say yes to God this morning? Are you willing to say yes to say, God, I want you to use me to reveal Jesus to others around me and in my life? And so would you turn with me to John chapter 1 this morning, church. John chapter 1 as we begin the section. I'm going to be in the CSB version. The CSB version, if you turn there right now. And we're going to be beginning in verse 19. And so as we are going, we're kind of making this transition. Last week I mentioned, we saw this beautiful poetic prologue to the book of John as God is painting this picture of who Jesus is and what he's been sent to do. And now we're going to shift out of this kind of poetic part and we're going to shift into this story. And if we look at verse 19, we see the intro to the story, and it says this. This was John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who you are. All right, so as we get to this part right here, I think it's important to create a clarification of who we're talking about here. This is not John, the author of the book. John, the author of the book, as he identifies himself as the one whom Jesus loved, is one of Jesus' disciples, and he's going to show up a little bit later on the scene. Instead, we're talking about John the Baptist. And if you want to know more about John the Baptist, I really enjoyed going back and kind of just reading more about John and his history. And you can see that more in the other Gospels. We like get this little glimpse because there's a different point of this story that we see here than just to tell us about John. So if you want to know more about John, go to Luke chapter 1, go to Luke chapter 3, go to Mark 1. I was in all those this week. I enjoyed it a ton just getting to see who this guy is that we're going to read about. And it'll give us more understanding to what is happening in our story today and maybe understand more why things were going on the way they were. And so would you stand with me this morning, church? We're going to start with verse 19. John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is how the story begins. This was John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites and asked him, who you are? He didn't deny it, but confessed it. I am not the Messiah. What then they asked him? Are you Elijah? I am not, he said. Are you the prophet? No, he answered. Who are you then? They asked. We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What can you tell us about yourself? So God, as we come this morning, Lord, I ask that you would give us understanding to your word. Give us understanding, Lord, to what you want us to see, not just in who you are, to see more of who Jesus is. And as we see Jesus more, to see who you have called us to be for you and for your glory. So Spirit of God, do what only you can do. Break forth and speak to our hearts and our minds. Let your words only be heard, Lord, so that we would begin to walk more and more closely with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as we get to this opening section, we're going to keep going. We got a lot more verses we're covering this morning. But this is our opening section. As we get to this, we're going to ask this question. So what is happening here? And as we see this conversation going on with John, because of many things he was doing, you can see that in some of the other chapters of the Gospels that I mentioned. But as we start here, I want us to see this conversation that is happening. And I want us to realize that this is a God-ordained conversation. When people come and begin to talk to us, especially when we begin to see that, as we're going to see in just a few moments, that they begin to ask about this thing that they see in our lives that's not really explainable. What is going on? How are you able to do this? Or what is going on in your life that makes you different? We understand that is God, as it was here in this situation, setting up a scenario for John to begin to reveal Jesus, a God-ordained conversation to recognize when God puts those in front of us as well. These God-ordained conversations that he wants us to have as well with others to do what we see John do in these next several verses. And as they begin to ask John about himself, they want to know about who he is. Because here's what's happening. And we read about this in Mark. We actually see the crowds are coming from all over the place. Like, there's this amazing thing happening here in John's ministry. He's teaching. People are coming. People are responding. They're seeing some incredible things, and they're starting to ask questions like, who is this guy and what's going on? And he's giving this message of hope. I mean, they hadn't seen something like this happen in hundreds of years for God's people. And so they were asking questions. What is going on? Something is happening. Some liked it. Some were seeing God work, and some were maybe jealous and not liking what's going on. They were skeptical, but the truth is, whatever side of that coin you were, it was undeniable. Something was happening. Something that was bigger than what people are used to seeing. And so they come, and in some sense, some of the people wanting to lift him up, and some of the other people maybe wanted to take him down. But like, so who are you? Who do you say you are? And if we look at his response, I want us to see a theme in here as he says, but you understand, it's not about who I am. It's not about me. It's not about what you see I'm doing. It's much bigger than me. I'm actually not a big deal at all. I am not what you need in any way. And he begins to deflect because, you see, people are seeing this cool thing and they do what we so instinctively do. They were seeing what was clearly a work of God happening, and they started to do what we often do is they started to make it about him. Well, who are you? How are you doing this? Tell us more about yourself. He's like, don't look at me. Don't look who I am. Instead, he's going to, in just a moment, tell us where we're supposed to look. And here's why this is so important, church, because the same things that happened then happen to us today. This is why, Bethany, we value so highly having a preaching team. This is why over the course of the month, the last few weeks, I've been able to come up and preach. And the next week, you're going to hear from Wade, one of our elders. The week after that, you're going to hear from Pastor Billy. Because it is so important that we not lift any person up, but instead, as a team and as a church, we continue to lift and point people to Jesus. Say, this is who we're about. And we're all a little different in how we do it. We're all a little different in how we see it and as we learn and as we grow. But we want to be as a collective church saying, it's not about a person. It's not about a man. But we want to say it's about Jesus. And church, there are a lot of churches that do not do this. And it is hurting churches all over the United States. And you can just look and listen to the stories of churches who have lifted their leaders up, lifted their pastors up, made it about those people more than about the ones that they were actually talking about. And when those people fall, because they're human, and they fall, and they fail, and they sin, the churches that have lifted the person up more than Jesus, you see them collapsing. You see people dispersing. You see people not even sure they ever want to go back to church again. This is why it's so important, church. We got to be about the message about Jesus is to continue as a church, not look at the messenger, but continue to look at the one we are bringing a message about. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep making it about Jesus. Don't make it about us. Don't make it about anything else, but to keep making it about Jesus. So no matter what happens with us, no matter what's going on with me or any else, pastors or elders, at the end of the day, we know where our hope lies, and we know that Jesus is on the move and is working, and it's a beautiful picture of the church coming together and being the church and all the giftings and the ways that God has brought us to shepherd and love each other together. And the thing is, it's not just for leaders. How easy it is. Even if you're not on stage, even if you're not leading, or even if you're not teaching, how easy it is when people come up to us and they begin to say, wow, you seem like such a great person. Wow, I really like what I see in you. It's so easy to just say, thanks, yeah, I've really been working hard at being a better guy. Do we want him to see us, or do we want him to see Jesus? How do we do about that? How are we doing with that? When even someone might come up and say there's something cool, like they were seeing with John the Baptist, are we willing to say, oh, it's not me? But let me tell you about the one it's about. And this is where John goes right now as he continues in his next section, verse 23, as he says really who he is because of who he wants them to see. He says in verse 23, I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, just as Isaiah the prophet said. And John speaks to this Old Testament verse from Isaiah 40, verse 3, that was declaring that there was one that would come that would point people to the Messiah, that would point people to the one that God was sending. He was saying, I am a voice, just a voice, but I want to declare that the word of God is coming. I am just a voice, but the divine word of God is coming in Jesus. And he keeps going and he says, hey, you need to miss, don't miss this, because actually he's here. And so they asked him in verse 25, why then do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet? He says, I baptize with water. Someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to untie. And as he makes this declaration, we get to the point of all of this for him. Verse 29. And then the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. I didn't know him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. And in verse 35 again, he says, look, the Lamb of God. So as they come and they're like, tell us who you are, tell us who you are. As he gets to this point and he's like, it's not about me, it's not about me. And then he says, and we see this next couple of verses, he says, but let me tell you, look, the Lamb of God. There he is. It's not me. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as he begins to paint this picture, and he first uses this phrase, and he says, look, the Lamb. He's describing for them what the Jews would have known, the sacrificial lamb, maybe going all the way back to the Passover. For the many of the ladies in our church, you guys have been studying this, going through the book of Exodus. I know in your grow groups, your transformation groups, your Bible studies, morning equipping, evening equipping, awesome. You guys probably have a great handle on this right now. And he was pointing to a lamb that was sacrificed. That lamb was killed and his blood was shed and put over the doorpost of the home so that as the angel of death came, instead of death, they would receive life. And he points to that. He says, this is the Lamb of God. And he says, and this is why the Lamb has come, to take away the sin of the world. He declares not only who he is, but why he has come. Because you know what? We have a sin problem. John had been preaching this. This would not have been new. He had been talking about this. We see this echoed in Luke and Mark too as he was preaching this repentance from sin. He was preaching this, that we need to realize that I have a sin problem. We talked about this last week. I live in darkness and my darkness separates me from God. And yet Jesus has come to be life and light, to break forth into the darkness and show me the light. And then in repenting, I look and I say, I don't want to do anything to do with darkness anymore. And I begin to say, I want Jesus. I want the light and look toward him. And so he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, who gives you the ability, he's the light that overcomes to leave the darkness and walk into the light, not because of you, because of Jesus, because of who he is and what he's going to do as he speaks to that in this beautiful and beautiful way. So as he continues that, he doesn't just say who Jesus is, but then he continues and he says, let me tell you what I've also seen. And he begins to share us a piece of his personal story, his personal testimony. Look what it begins with in verse 32. And it says this, and John testified. Hold on to that word, because I like that word right there. Hold on to that. And John testified. He said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he rested on him. And I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water told me, the one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Look at the verse 34. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So he says, look, Look, the Lamb of God, the one that God has sent to take away the sin of the world. Now, as I point to him and say, this is who he is, let me testify. Let me tell you what I have seen, the evidence that he is who he claims to be. He, too, I say that he is as well. Let me tell you my own story. And he begins, and I love how the CSB words this, and he testifies. And I like this word because I'm from the South. And I don't know if you ever heard of it, but I remember going to church sometimes in the South, and there'd be like, let's testify. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody? No one? Like five of you? Okay, Google like Gospel Church South and just listen. You'll get there. You're like within 5 minutes, someone will testify, all right? So it's his idea, though. ESV says bore witness, which is a great phrase, too. I just like testify better. But it's this idea of what I have seen, I'm going to tell you about. What I know, not just because of what's in here, but because what I have seen God do or how I have seen God move, I want to tell you about that. So he begins to testify what he has seen God do. I mean, this is the theme of the book of John. Remember, we talked about that last week, going all the way to chapter 20 near the end, as he begins to say why he wrote this book. He said, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are written in his book. But these are written, all right, hear this? But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. I mean, this book was John's testimony. It was where he was beginning to testify and say, let me write down and tell you all the things I've seen Jesus do. Let me tell you my story of how Jesus changed my life, how I built a relationship with Jesus, how he came and reached out to me, and how we grew, and how I began to love him as I saw his love for me. This is his testimony, guys, of the things that he saw Jesus do, that for him was confirmation Jesus was who he said he was. Last week I shared with us, as we look at this book of John, not only do we want to tell people, yes, tell them the stories and the signs and the truth and God's word. This is our foundation to everything we know. But church, share with them too this testimony of your life and your walk and your relationship with Jesus. Do like what John did. I believe God's called us to see John as an example of this in our lives, of how God would want us to respond to him. And when you begin to look around and say, where have I seen God move? It's so easy, guys. Maybe even the longer we've been believers, it's so easy to forget the incredible works of God that have happened in our life apart from anything that I could or that we could ever do. And so when you go back and you remember them and you see those things, don't be afraid to tell others. Your testimony. Don't be afraid to testify of the great things that God has done in your life. Don't be afraid to give testimony to the amazing things that he has done. You know what? And it might seem crazy and they might seem weird. And you may be like, I don't know if I think it's, I want to say this. They may think I'm a fool. Well, Paul says they're probably going to. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says this. It says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But it doesn't end there. Yeah, the message of the cross, your story, it may seem so foolish. But to we who are being saved, we know it is the very power of God. And when you know and believe it is the very power of God in your life, it is a story just like John, we have to tell. We've got to tell them. They need to hear it. Because I think sometimes maybe it's out of fear of that foolishness, it's out of fear of that rejection, sometimes we try to like dumb down Christianity. We try to somehow make it make sense in the perfect narrative of a secular logic. We try to make it less spiritual. We even try to make it less supernatural as if somehow that's gonna be the appeal. But when we begin to do that, we actually miss what Christianity is. When we take away those divine works of God, those incredible stories, those things that he has done, even the unexplainable, but is a testimony of God and the supernatural work he does, then what we do is we miss what makes Christianity different, and we just start sounding like every other religion, every other human philosophy. What makes Christianity different? Jesus! And what he has done, and the miracle that when he took my life, that was so dark and in rebellion, so broken and lost in my sin, I could find no way to find freedom. Unexplainable to me in any of my natural power, God came and did a supernatural work in me. and he restored my soul. And he gave me life, and he gave me hope and a relationship with him that I can't even fully explain to you, but I can tell you who it was. It's Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of David Baxley. Because I couldn't do it, but Jesus can. But don't let your testimony end there. Continue to speak of the incredible things that God has done, and don't be afraid for sounding foolish. Don't be afraid. Tell them how God has worked to answer prayers in your life. Tell them when you were broken and you were hurting and you came to God and you were begging and you were pleading. You're saying, God, I need you to do a miracle. I need you to do a work. I don't know how this is going to happen. And God answered your prayers in ways that is unexplainable apart from Jesus. I have a great story like that I love to tell. I'll tell that another time, though. All right. But tell them how God has provided for you. Tell them how God met needs that would be unexplainable apart from him. Tell them about, even though things around you seem to be crashing and the world seems so frustrating and the things around us seem so painful and so hopeless, why you have peace. Tell them about the supernatural peace of God that surpasses all what? Understanding. It surpasses all human ideas. It surpasses human logic. Guys, they've got human logic. They've got secular understanding. You know what they don't have? Is a divine, supernatural God to do something in their lives that only he can do. So begin to tell them, begin to testify in the same way of the incredible things that God has done in your life, just like John did. And the thing is, as you begin to do that, hey, you know what? People are going to walk away. People are going to think you're crazy. You're going to tell your story, and there's some people that are going to look at you. You're like, so you're some crazy, hairy, camel, fur-wearing, locust-eating guy dunking people water in the desert. Didn't stop John. He knew, but he had to tell him. He had to tell him who Jesus was. He had to tell him what he had seen, not just what he knew. The signs and the beauty, so they would also believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I have a friend of mine that I met 20 years ago. We started working together way, way, way back. I was 18, 19 years old at the time at a restaurant I was serving. And I was just starting to get into ministry, and we became friends. And we'll go out every couple months. We'll have lunch together, text each other, check in with each other. He's not a Christian. I've known pretty quickly in my relationship with him. Things kind of, the God stuff doesn't make sense, kind of weird. I don't get it. Yeah, he kind of knows what people believe. That's good for them, but really has no interest. It doesn't, there's no wisdom in it. I mean, like, it's just, it's not needed. And yet he knew who I was. He knew I was a Christian. He knew I followed Jesus. He knew that I was in ministry. I worked at a church and all these different things, and we'd get together. And then one day I was getting together and having lunch with him. I'm like, I gotta tell him more. I can't just like let him know who I am. I need to tell him why I am who I am. And I begin to tell him about the things I've seen Jesus do in my life, why I believe so passionately, why this is something that has radically changed my life, why with the deepest conviction I cannot shake this, and why I could not with any way walk away from it. And I'm sharing my story with him. And guys, at the end of that story, you know what he said? That's good for you, David. But not really interested. You know, at that moment, completely deflated. I know I did the right thing. And the thing is, by God's grace, didn't affect our friendship. Now, he thinks that part of me is crazy, but he's super nice and loving about me being crazy, but that's what he thinks. And yet we'd still get together and we'd have lunch and we'd talk about things like this every once in a while. We'd have these conversations. And then I remember one day he called me and we got together and have lunch. And he begins to tell me about what's going on with his family and cancer. And the story begins to change. He said, I don't know what to do. And he was desperate. He's like, would you be willing to pray for me? No, I wouldn't say at that point he believed, but he knew at that point he needed something that no natural wisdom or logic or methodology or thinking or even doctor was going to fix. He needed something that was supernatural. He needed divine intervention. So I prayed for him. I had lunch with him and prayed. Over the next several months, I hear back from him, the cancer's gone. But that's not where the story ends. I prayed and he got to see a little work of God. And you know what? I wouldn't say he was at all where we were that first time we had that conversation, but he's still not where I'd love to see my friend be, and that is a follower of Jesus. He's not there yet, but he knows. And you know why he knows? Because I told him. I told him not just the human logic and rationale behind why I believe what I do. And that is great. I'm not dissing that in any way whatsoever, but that was not enough. I told him about the incredible works of God that I've seen in my life that apart from God make no sense. That why with such deep conviction I hold to this so strongly, because I've seen God do what only God can do. And I wanted to testify to the work of God in my life. And I wanted him and others and my friends to hear that word. And again, it can seem crazy. And you know, it can seem totally like out there. And what if they don't believe? And what if they don't think? And you know why? There are a lot of people that don't. The guys, if people walked away from Jesus not believing, they may walk away from you. That's not on you. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about what you love about Jesus and the work that he has done in your life. Because also, not only will some walk away, but we're going to see in verse 37 that some come. And it says that the two disciples who heard this testimony, they heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Verse 40, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John, and he followed him. Guys, it was just maybe two at the beginning. And he kept going. He spoke to all the crowds. And we see these two that began to follow Jesus. But it's beginning something because he was not afraid to say, let me tell you who Jesus is. And let me tell you what I've seen, my testimony of what I've seen Jesus do. And then we see what Jesus begins to do next. Look at this. It's beautiful. Verse 37. And when Jesus turned around and he noticed them following them, he asked them, he said, what are you looking for? Well, stop right there. Because I love in these next three verses to see how Jesus begins to respond to those as we share the testimony of who Jesus is. And we testify and people begin to question. They begin to check in. I love how Jesus reaches out and he meets them right where they're at. So tell me, what are you looking for? Can you imagine Jesus asking anybody a question? You know he knows, right? But he does that because he's coming to meet us where we're at. Tell me what's going on inside of you. Tell me what you're thinking about. Tell me what you're wondering about. What are you questioning? Why are you here? What are you looking for? And he comes and he meets us where we're at. And then he keeps going as we get a chance to maybe get to know him. Verse 39, he says, all right, come and you will see. And so then he invites him, hey, come check me out. Let's go see what's going on. If you're willing to come, I'll show you. I'll begin to show you who I am. Now, they haven't decided to follow yet. They're not, like, committed to this situation yet. But even before they've committed, the grace of God says, come and let me show you who I am. If you want to see just a glimpse of that in John chapter 1, as we get near to the end of this text we're looking at today, we see this beautiful story of Nathanael. It's just this little piece at the end. And they're coming to Nathanael. They're saying, hey, look, we think we found Jesus. Like, we think we found the guy. Like he's amazing. Jesus of Nazareth. We think he's the Son of God. We think he's the Messiah. And Nathanael's like, yeah. Right, whatever. Can anything good even come out of Nazareth? Skeptical, bad attitude. Look what Jesus does. Verse 47. Then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, here truly is an Israelite with whom there is no deceit. You know, you had this guy that just was kind of mocking. This can't really be it, whatever. And Jesus comes, and he's like, look at this great guy. Encourages him, shows him God's love. And then he says, well, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus says, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Rabbi, Nathanael replied, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus responded to him and said, do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You're going to see even greater. Oh, hear that, guys. See even greater things than this. See, he was skeptical. He had a bad attitude. Didn't want to hear about it. Jesus loved on him. He met him where he was at. And only that, he showed him this wonderful grace of love and this the evidence, a testament, and something that was going to be part of Nathaniel's testimony of who Jesus was, of how he came to Jesus. And I've talked to a lot of you. I know a lot of you. I've heard your stories. And if I was to say, tell me about the story, how you started to follow Jesus, you're going to have this story. You're going to have this piece of, I couldn't explain this, but man, I knew. Or I saw God show up and do this thing with me, and I'm like, God must be real, and I started searching. Or someone came up and did this thing for me in Jesus' name, and then I began to say, wonder what's going on with that, and I began to search. Guys, we have in our story similar things where, like, Jesus comes and he shows us incredible mercy, incredible grace, incredible love, even when we're still skeptics, even when we're not really sure we believe, even if we got some bad attitude, because he wants to invite us to him. And it becomes a part of our testimony and our story. Because it's about the life-changing thing that Jesus does in us that we can't do. And then his last thing that he says in verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and he found Philip, and he told him, and he said, follow me. See, at the end of all the testimony, at the end of sharing our stories, at the end of seeing God's grace and his mercy, there still comes this important question. Will you follow him? And if you know me, you've heard this enough, I'll often use the phrase follower of Christ, and I'm going to use that more than Christian. And here's why I do that. Because in our world today, Christian kind of just means anybody that might say they believe in God, might say they go to church, might say they read a Bible, might pray every once in a while. It's just this person that does these Christian-like religious behaviors. But see, Jesus isn't looking just for us to do these Christian things. He's saying, come and follow me. Come and do what I say to do. Come and live the way I've called you to live. Come and give your life to me, and I will take you, and I will do what you were created for to help you see your created purpose, but you have to commit and surrender. That's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for a commitment. He's not looking for us just to accept that he's God or just accept that he's good or that we should follow him. I mean, the demons accept it, guys. They know who he is. He's looking for someone and says, I will follow you. I commit. Here's my life, Jesus. This is a beautiful picture, church, of as we get to share our testimony of what we see God begin to do in the lives of those we're sharing with. You know what? You may not always get to see it, but you can know that God is on the move, that God's working in people's hearts, that Jesus is revealing himself to people, maybe with what are you looking for? As we begin to close this morning, I want to ask those questions. Whether you're here in this room, whether you're watching upstairs in the mass venue, whether you're watching online, I want to just ask the question, where are you really at with Jesus? Just be willing to have that honest conversation with yourself for a moment. Are you at that place where maybe Jesus would come to you and say, what are you looking for? Like you're kind of exploring. I mean, you're listening, you're here. You're online, you're paying attention. Maybe Jesus would say, what are you looking for? Come and tell me. And you can begin to talk to Jesus. Maybe you're not even sure if you believe with him. You know how many testimonies I know of people that says, I wasn't sure I believed, but I began. And they met Jesus. Or maybe you're at that next place where Jesus is like, come and see. He's like, here, come on. I got things I can show you. Let me show you who I am. Go and look. And you know, if there's any place, if you want to start with Jesus, I want to encourage you, just get into the Gospel of John and just read it. Don't wait for us to get through it. Read it yourself. If you want to come and see Jesus, begin to look through the Gospel of John and you'll begin to see who Jesus is. But then lastly, there's still that question. There's still that command from Jesus, follow me. And if you haven't said yes to that, that's the first yes this morning. So would you bow your heads with me here in this room, upstairs in the mass venue? I just want to ask that question. Have you not just accepted who Jesus is, but have you committed to follow Jesus? And this morning, maybe you just need to bring it all together and say, look, I see you are the Lamb of God, the one who God sent to take away the sin of the world, to reconcile me with God, to pay the price, to be the Lamb whose blood is shed so that I can be reconciled with God. And you just need to say, all right, I am ready to follow Jesus and commit. If that's you this morning, wherever you're at, your chair, home, your car, just say, I'm willing to commit Jesus. And if that's you, we want to hear from you here because we want to help you walk with Jesus, want to help you follow Jesus. So if you mark that on the connection card or send us an email, one of the pastors, we'd love to talk with you and help you see how you can more follow Jesus. But if you've already said yes and I commit, the next question is, will you be willing to be like John and be willing to testify to who Jesus is? Are you willing to tell others, even if it seems crazy, look, this is the Lamb of God. This is the one that takes away the sin of the world. How do I know this? Because he did this in my life. Let me tell you about the work of God that is unexplainable apart from God. Let me tell you about the miracles he's done in my life, how he's healed my heart. Unexplainable apart from who Jesus is. And then we testify of who Jesus is. Are you willing to say yes? God wants to use you. Just like John the Baptist. And yes, we might look crazy, locust eating, camel wearing crazy. But don't let it stop you from telling him who Jesus is. Don't let him stop you from telling him who the hope of the world is. And I want to ask you this question. As your heads are bowed and we're just coming before God in this moment, Spirit of God, we just ask that you would please right now, even put in our minds right now who you would like us to go tell. Who in our life have you put there that maybe we've had some conversations with? Maybe they've been responding to Jesus when he asked, what are you looking for? Maybe they're coming, they respond to Jesus when they say, come and see. But God, put those people in our mind right now. And as the Spirit of God tells us who that is, who to go to, church, I want to encourage you right now to say yes. Say yes. And we meet with your grow group, tell your grow group. Text a friend so you continue to act in obedience to what God's called you to do. Because again, our testimony of the work of God is something that continues. It's not just salvation, but it's continual work as we continually submit and he continually works. This morning, we get to see a piece of that testimony. We're gonna see people tell you through baptisms of the work that God has already done in their life, how he has saved them, as he has taken them from darkness to light, and they testify that they want to reject darkness and run toward the light this morning. And it is an incredible thing that we get to be part of. So Spirit of God, wherever we're at this morning, I pray that you would speak and call us to you. Give us the courage to act. Lord, you tell us that we don't have to worry about our words, because your Spirit will speak through us. So to come in a place of submission and trust and say, God, we are your people. Lord, we are ready. Use us to tell your story of the work you have done in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.